Dear Lord, we thank you for your calling this community. As we gather together to worship you, our heart is on you. We are inviting the Holy Spirit to be with us and open our hearts and give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of my favorite pastors in Korea, he often opened his preaching with this simple two questions. The first question is, are you saved? Well, he's preaching to the people in the church, so people were kind of curious. Second question for him, are you sure that you will be going to heaven if you die right now? Well, these two questions will embarrass those churchgoers who are faithfully going to the church for 10, 20 years. But this is a serious question that we have to ask to ourselves. This question goes to our assurance of our salvation. We often take it for granted that we will be saved, but we are not sure whether we live as a people who are saved. This morning I want to ask another simple two questions for you. Are you sense the presence of the Lord today? See, it's hard to answer. Second question is, are you sure that our Lord Jesus Christ would sit in the midst of our community? So it's hard to answer. The scriptures we have read this morning are the same passage of scriptures that I preached last month, I think. Because I couldn't finish, so I'd like to continue with these important verses in my life. When apostles were gathered together, they were so afraid of because they lost their Savior, their Master, and the one they looked upon and had a great hope. But Jesus Christ died as not they expected on the cross, and they lost their Savior. It is not just lost of their Savior, but they are so much afraid of persecutions, hatred from Jews towards the so-called Christians, the communities who follow Jesus Christ. They're gathered in a room and they're so much afraid because in any moment somebody would come and kill like Jesus. But Jesus came back and gave an assurance that I'll come back. And that at that moment, that all the Christians who have believed in Jesus really believed in Jesus. And this is the community that came after of the assurance of Jesus Christ coming back. When Christians are becoming really Christians, then we see the fruits of becoming real Christians in this passage. What is Christ-like community? We've been speaking a lot about Christ-like discipleship and the community in our life, especially the community that we live in at APNTS. We so much emphasize of the Christ-like and the community life. The passage of Scripture for me is a profounding message that how we Christians, how we Christ-like followers would live and would model after. How do we become a Christ-like community? First, the passage was giving us that we are a community of disciples, that the disciples were teaching, leading the congregations, the community to Christ. Do we have teachers in our community? Of course, we have a lot of teachers. Not by professions, but by heart. You will be teachers someday or now, teaching somebody to lead Christ. Are you sure that you are a Christ-like disciples that we read in the scriptures today? So I'm giving a lot of questions today. I don't expect you to answer right now, but you can answer to yourself when you have time. Christ-like community is a community of sharing. The Christians become really Christians. They themselves open their hearts and can able to share whatever they have. You know, this is really hard to preach in this materialized society we live in, because it's hard to sell and share of what you have to even somebody close to you. You can share the foods you have in your refrigerator, but you will be very angry if somebody eat your food without permission. No? In our dorm life, this is happening every day. We are battling against this kind of things in our life. But Christ-like community, from the passage we read, is a sharing community. All the Christian believers now begin to sell their possessions and share according to the needs of the community. This is what I preached last time, and this is the beginning of my preach today. The Christ-like community from this passage is a worshiping community. Here in verse 42, that they are breaking of breads and worshiping the Lord. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Well, as I said, the meaning of koinonia has twofold. One, you have a sharings with the people around, but also that word has a community of sharing with you and Christ. So in this passage, it was talking about how we Christians, how we Christ-like communities, to share our hearts with the Lord. And here, interestingly, they come every day to worship the Lord, and they even at home, they broke bread in remembrance of the Lord's Last Supper, and they remember, they have a personal relationship, personal communions with the Lord every day. And I believe as much as we can, we pray when we eat. I believe it is a remembrance of the Last Supper that Jesus Christ gave to us. we Christians in this 21st century, it's very hard to worship every day because we have a lot of things to do. It's even impossible to have worship or family worship at home every day because we have a lot of assignments to finish. Especially those who are living in the seminary, it's impossible to worship every day because we have too many assignments to finish, to have too many reading assignments that we have for every courses. But here in this passage, that the early Christians are wholeheartedly here with glad and sincere heart, they come to the presence of the Lord and are glad, they are glad in worshiping the Lord every day. One pastor said that one of the most privileges that he has is that he is participating in every worship because he is the pastor to preach. That statement looks or sounds funny, but it gives me an assurance how we Christians, leaders, pastors are called to lead the worship that we are part of. You know, when you lead the worship, like especially youth and children, that you feel like they are not ready, they are not really receiving the Spirit of Christ, and it is really hard to worship with them for at least like 30-40 minutes because their interest is somewhere else. And it's hard to get their attentions without Christ. But when Christ is seated in the middle of the community, they're glad with a sincere heart to come together and worship the Lord every day. May the Lord bless our community that we gather. We're coming with a sincere heart to worship the Lord in every moment and opportunities we have. Amen. Worship should be the center of our Christian life. We have, fortunately and unfortunately, have a lot of activities in our church. I think we have intentionally created a lot of activities to support our worship. But unfortunately, those kind of programs and opportunities to worship oftentimes hinder us to worship the Lord. Yesterday, I heard a funny story from my friend, and the story goes like this. There was one pastor from Third World had a chance to visit United States. He's from United States, so please take this without any cultural bias, okay? I'm not culturally discriminating anybody. After a few weeks of visit to the churches in the United States, he said to his friend, who were sincerely guiding that pastor to churches. You know, imagine if you have a guest from outside, you like to show like very good things. So the host in the United States were trying to show the pastor the good churches as much as he can. But after a few weeks of visit, the pastor said to his friend in the United States, "It is amazing church. It is great congregations. I was so amazed that you were able to make this without Holy Spirit. So I didn't really intend to make any cultural discrimination in this statement. But here, the point is that we Christians have a lot of things that we think that we support our worship, but oftentimes we are so busy that we forget the most important elements in our worship. It's not only the churches in the United States, they're happening in Korea, even in the Philippines. The churches are being equipped, the Christians are being intelligent, and they are more and more capable in handling worships. But it is sad that we often left out the most important element in our worship, that is the Spirit. We have a great facility here. That air conditioner makes me becoming like real pastor. Do you think that I've become a real pastor? No? You don't like a pastor? That's why you like me? Great lighting, great PowerPoint, and no watch. Please remind me when I have to finish. Huh? We're so busy with technical aspects and music, light, PowerPoint, all the things we have to pay attention to. But the more we have to spend our time with something that is not important, well, I'm not saying it is not important, the more and more we are often losing the most important elements of the worship, that is the Spirit. The worship should be the center of our Christian life. But what kind of worships we are giving to the Lord, that's what we have to remember and remind ourselves. In our Christian life, especially with pastors and teachers, full-time ministers are often caught by kind of mentality. We have to work hard. Especially that's a Korean mentality. You work hard, otherwise you're not pastor. If you don't work at least 15 hours per day, you're not worthy to be called pastors. We are creating a lot of programs. We have a lot of skills, strategies. We have a lot to do. And we have a lot to learn. But oftentimes, we empty ourselves without Spirit. So the worshiping the Lord in this context reminds us that nothing but Spirit is important in our worship. So question again, are we worshiping the Lord? Are we truly worshiping the Lord? Are we sensing the presence of our Lord in the midst of our worship? Jesus was approaching to the woman in Samaria that he should not speak to the lady. But he was sharing, asking for a water. But it was not that he was asking water, but he was asking of her willingness to receive the eternal life. When you realize what I give, that God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. When we are truly worshiping the Lord in truth and in spirit, we will be receiving the water that never ever makes us thirsty again. Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 also emphasizes of the elements of worship. Apostle Paul was giving us what we have to bring to our worship. He was saying that we offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Are we bringing ourselves as a living sacrifice to our God? And are we willing to give ourselves to the Lord? Jacob is another good example. When he was wandering around, looking for a refuge, then he was sleeping, and God came to him in his dream. And God sent his messengers to Jacob and said, "Look, I am God of gods. Then I will be protecting you and giving you an assurance that I'll be with you." And at that moment, when Jacob was awake, then he realized that it was God that is always with him. That it was that moment that he realized that it is God who will protect him. And at that moment, he was giving his true worship to the Lord. And called, this is the place where God is residing. Again, questions. Are we feeling, sensing the presence of the Lord in the midst of busy works and choices in our life? But one thing that is important is that we are in the midst of his presence. The fourth point in Christ-like disciples, Christ-like communities, is that it is a praying community. In verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of breads, and into prayer. Well, it's hard to distinguish the elements of prayer in elements of worship, because in worship we pray. But the reason, in my understanding, that it was written separately, is that we pray, and the community are praying even after the worship. How much do we pray? And this is another weakest point in 21st century Christians. That's what I heard. Because we have so many things to do in busy life, it's hard to find some time to prayer. Well, this is another interesting story I received from my friend. There was a guy whose name is Jim. Jim was not very educated. Jim was not very much suited in the church. But he received Jesus Christ, and he was so delighted. So he decided to visit, to pray to the church. But because he was not really educated, because he was not used to pray, he just visited to the church and nothing to do. The pastor was watching him going in and out of the church every day. And the pastor saw him going to church at 12 noon and come out of the church 12:05, so 5 minutes. But he goes every day. So pastor one day was asking, what are you doing in the church? And the Jim said, I'm praying. What are you praying? For 5 minutes, okay, if you walk and kneel down and you pray and come back within 5 minutes, I'm not sure how you pray. So what do you pray? And Jim said, I don't have much to say. So I go and I say, hi, Jesus, I'm here. I'm Jim. How are you doing today? Because he doesn't have much to say, then he leaves the place. But he comes back at 12 noon in the midst of his work, and he comes back and say, hi, Jesus, I'm Jim, I'm here. How are you? But one day, he got into a really bad accident. So he was in the hospital. A few weeks later, the pastor visited him, Jim, in the hospital. But amazing thing happened. Like, the nurses were talking each other, talking about Jim, and the pastor heard of what they said. And they said, well, it's amazing, you know, in the room that Jim is in, having so much fun. And the patients in the room are faster in recovery. And they're saying, I don't know what's happening. So the pastor went to see Jim and was asking Jim, what's happening here? And he said, because I have friends to come at 12 noon every day. And the pastor said, who is he? And he said, it's Jesus. He comes and said, hi, Jim, I'm Jesus, how are you? Because I was not able to go to church, he comes to see me. Well, this is I'm not sure if this is really true or no, but the story was talking about the essence of prayer. The prayer is a communication with the Lord. Jim was praying sincerely, and he was indeed communicating, talking with Jesus. Sometimes I spend an hour, and I try to spend an hour every day praying. Sometimes I'm not sure. I'm really not sure that I'm really communicating with the Lord. Because in my mind, there are many things that are coming up that I cannot really concentrate on talking with Jesus. I'm not sure even I can say, hi Jesus, I'm here, I'm Bill. Praying community is what we are looking for. My mother became Christian 2.5 years ago. When she found out Jesus in her heart, she was so gracious. And she was asking me to write a prayer. And she said, it's very hard to pray. So if you write a prayer that I can read over when we have a worship at home. They have an 8 o'clock worship call every day at home. And in the prayer, she found it the most challengeable and difficult moment. So she was asking me to write a prayer. So I wrote a prayer, one page. You can write in 3-4 minutes. After a year, I went to see my mom, And she was delighted to invite me to 8 o'clock prayer calls at home. So we shared. I was observing how they do. Very simple. They start with Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed, then go to Scripture that day, and they bring out the prayer that I wrote. My sister lives with my mom, and she printed 4 copies of my prayer, one for my mom, one for my dad, one for my sister, one for somebody who joins, sometimes me, sometimes somebody else. And I see the prayers that are so, how do you call it? Worn out, because they've folded out every day at 8 o'clock. And they're so proud of a prayer that her son becoming a pastor, right, a prayer. So it was not just a simple prayer, but it is a prayer of our heart. When I was worshiping with my family at 8 o'clock, then I was reminded of the Christ-like community that the early Christians who gathered in a home, breaking their bread and praying together, worshiping the Lord. And this is a true worship that God is pleased with. It doesn't go long, maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes at most. But they are not skipping at any single day, 365 days or 2.5 years straight. We think it's impossible to worship every day. Sometimes we think it's ridiculous. You know, we can worship once or twice. We have Sunday worship, we have Wednesday prayer meeting, we have chapels on Tuesday, Thursday. Okay. Why do we have to worship at home? But for her, that 8 o'clock prayer call and the worship at home together with the family is the most important part of her life. I was embarrassed. I was feel like humiliated. I didn't say to my mom, but I feel like how I feel like hypocrites. You think you're a pastor, you're a missionary, you're supposed to teach at the seminary, but you do not have the hearts that a newly converted mid-aged woman, not well-educated, not intelligent, but the heart of worship in her that I lost. I was watching the Korean worship as much as possible because I want to feel like their spirituality. So I have a few pastors' sermons that I like to watch and listen regularly. I don't think Korean pastors are better than other pastors, but in a way, like language and heart makes me more close to what when the Korean pastors speak. And one Thursday midnight service, I think, that was in the prayer meeting, Prayer Mountain. The space is not large like this, maybe half of it. But when the camera was wandering around, we see that people were flocked into that worship place. There is no place like this. There is no place vacant seats. They're all coming, sitting on the floor, even sitting on the pulpit. So the pastor cannot really move a lot. It was August sometime, so it must be very hot in Korea. Thursday midnight service. Hundreds, thousands of people who are hunger in spirit comes to a worship and listens and participate in worship. Are we glad that we have a nice facility here? That we have more chairs than we can occupy? Are we glad that we have nice air conditioning system that we can wear suits? Feel like we're a good pastor? Are we glad that we have so much music and equipment and audios that we can play with? But are we glad that we feel the presence of the Lord in our worship? If we do not have that presence, that one element in our worship, we lose everything. Moses is a man of prayer. He was testifying the answers of his prayer. In a moment, in Exodus chapter 17, verses from 8 to 16, he faced a great challenge. He overcome one obstacle, then he soon realized that he had another obstacles to come. He was praying while his armies were fighting. He was praying with his two hands. He was too tired. His hands going down a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. And he realized that his armies were defeated. So he was raising his two hands again, praying, and his armies miraculously winning the battle. And later on, he was tired. His hands go down and down and down. And again, he found out that his armies were defeated. So he was calling two assistants to hold, please hold my hands. We have to pray together. And this is a prayer. And this is the world that we live in. I don't think the world that we live in is different from the world that Moses lived. We don't see the battles, physical battles in front of our eyes. But we see a spiritual battles in this 21st century Christian life. We Christians are called to be holy, and we Christians to be called a community of believers. But the questions that I like to ask this morning is, are we really worthy to be called as Christians? By asking this question, are we really sensing the presence of the Lord in every corner of our life? When we are worship, when we are praying, when we are sharing, when we are teaching, are we teaching, sharing, worshiping, and praying of the one that we look for? If we, APNTS community, have that only one, then we are genuinely and truly Christ-like communities. Amen.